Turn your Bibles, please, to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Can someone tell me the page number, please, in the church Bible? 527, in the church Bible. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and he delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life, and liveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and by lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The voice of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Again, we give thanks to the Lord for the reading of his most precious word. For those of you who meet regularly on a Thursday, the prayer and Bible study, well, it's my privilege to bring God's word to you at those times. We've been studying Psalm 34, and we've been going through the book of Psalms now for a period of time. And we come to Psalm 34, so this is the third study in this particular psalm. But if you come to a psalm, it's always a bit daunting. You think, there's not much here, really, is there? And after you start inquiring of the Lord and you start meditating upon it, we've had three studies from it. It's been a real blessing, I trust, to those of us on a Thursday night. So to bring you up to speed, those who cannot be with us on a Thursday, this is a psalm of David, as the introduction tells us, when he changed his behaviour before Abimelech. And we read that early on in 1 Samuel 21. And Abimelech says, do I have not enough madmen? Do I need another one in my midst? And David was able to escape by God's grace. It's really sad, really, that David was in such a position, isn't it, to begin with. There he was, as a young man. He goes to the field of battle, there in the valley of Elah. And there's Goliath shouting at the army of the living God, raising his fist, challenging him, and no man was able to stand up and attack or fight him, take him on. And a little shepherd boy comes from the hills of Bethlehem, armed with what? A sling and a few stones. And he says to Saul, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? You know, He's defined the name of the living God. He stood there in faith. He was courageous. He trusted in his God. And yet now we see him running from Saul. He's been dispossessed of all that he loved and owned, all his comforts, his wife, his family. I mean, read there, he was alone. He had no bread, he had no sword nor spear. And he tells a barefaced lie to the priest. I'm on the king's business. You see here a backslider. One who ran well, but now is trusting in his own confidence. And then, to make matters worse, he takes a sword. And whose sword does he take? The very one he slew, Goliath's sword. And where does he decide to go with that sword? But to Gath, the city where Goliath came from. Utter madness. Utter folly. This is what sin does to us. When we're out of the Lord's will. And David, how he bore that burden. Or when the report came back to Saul that he'd been with Abimelech, and he inquired of the Lord for David, gave him bread. And Saul sends Doeg to slaughter the priests. What a tragedy as sin bears upon the Lord's people. What a miserable condition David found himself to be in. Even to the point where he pretends he's mad. He feigns madness. He's scribbling on the doors or the gates of Gath. He's got saliva in his beard. He's acting like a madman, like a fool. And yet, through all of that, he can pen Psalm 34. Isn't that a wonder? Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And A.W. Pink makes a cutting comment. Many afflictions which the righteous afflict upon themselves. They no longer seek the guidance and the counsel of Almighty God. And if we're honest with ourselves, many of our own afflictions have been because we've been wayward and we wanted to go our own way rather than the Lord's way. And yet David can say with confidence, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And that little word there, always important in this psalm. We see it 6 times. We've looked at that previously. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. The Lord delivereth. That's a wonderful theme all through the book of Psalms. David was oppressed on every hand, left, right and centre. He had enemies within his own household. His own family turned against him. He had enemies in the household of Saul. He was pursued by enemies on every hand. And yet, he can say, I sought the Lord and he heard me, verse 4, and delivered me from all my fears. This is what God does for his people. If we seek him, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me. 4 times, David makes reference to the deliverance that the Lord undertook for David. And in verse 4, the word there fears, I mean, he's fearful of man. So in that presence of King, there in 1 Samuel 21, we see that he was fearful for his life. These men of the King Achish recognized him. This is David, the king of the land. So lesson there for us straight away, even for Christians. If you're a true believer, you cannot hide who you really are. Do you realize that? If you're a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot hide who you really and truly are, who you belong to. David sought to be someone else. I think headings are very important in these Psalms. Psalm of David when he changed his behaviour. In verse 8 we see, O taste and see. That word taste and behaviour in the Hebrew is the same. He changed his tastes. He changed who he was. We tried to. He tried to disguise himself. But God revealed him to the people. And that's true of us. We're Christians in a place of work or study. Grace will shine through us. No matter how you try to hide it, grace will shine through us. And David tried to change his appearance. As we looked at before, he looks back on those times with regret and in humble submission to God. And he says there in verse 1, I will praise the Lord at all times. Notice the word all again, all times. His praise shall be continually be in my mouth. This is his personal declaration. At all times, his praise shall be continually in my mouth. J.R. Miller says that we are to praise God at all times. We do not have the right or the authority to rewrite scriptures. Whatever circumstances we may find ourselves in, we are to praise God continually. Not for the condition we are in, maybe through ill health or loss of a loved one. We don't thank God for those particular circumstances, but we still praise God for who he is. He is sovereign. And David says here quite clearly, as an individual, I will praise the Lord continually, be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Then he invites us, those who are looking in to this situation, to magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together, he says. That's his desire. As the people of God, as we come together as the people of God, we declare to our neighbours, to the people in this street, to the people of Howsham, that we have come to worship the true and the living God. It's something we do together. It's a corporate act. That's why it's important we have fellowship one with another. Not just that we meet with one another, that's a sideline, that's a by the way, but we come to magnify the Lord and come to exalt his name together. He says there in verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. As you know, this morning is a gospel sermon, and so I want to bring the gospel to you from this particular psalm, Psalm 34. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate righteousness shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them but trust in him shall be desolate. That's pretty much where we got to in our last study on a Thursday evening. Verse 20 speaks of David. Many are the afflictions. He was pursued across the mountains. And yet he could say, he keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. David didn't suffer any hurt during those times of persecution and pursuit. But also he's speaking here of one future. He projects to the future, doesn't he? Because John speaks of this verse in his gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we'll see tonight. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. So David could say this, that God had kept him. And that word there, broken, means to shatter into splinters. And he has this confidence that God is able to keep him, to hedge him around, that word means to keep. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Then he gives us a warning. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate righteousness shall be desolate. Dear friends, for every one of us, There was a day when that was true. Maybe for some of you, it's even true today. They that hate righteousness shall be desolate. They that hate righteousness, those that hate right, those that hate God, those that hate Christ Jesus, they shall be desolate. They shall be condemned, the word means. The Hebrew word means they will be declared guilty. And they will be set for punishment. And it will be a just punishment. Because evil shall slay the wicked. Sin we commit destroys us. Sin destroys. Do you know that? It doesn't build up. It destroys. It tears down. I was speaking to a man the other day. He's delivering a skit for me. But I was looking at him. I was thinking, you shouldn't be doing this. You look too old for this job. And we got talking and conversation, and he said, do you come to this church? I said, no, I go to another church. As he was talking, he's 55 years old. He's younger than I am. Well, I thought, I look old, but 55. And as you talk to these people, you discover they're living a life of debauchery and of sin. And it brings age upon you. You can see it in their faces. And this man just reminded me again that sin is a destroyer. It ages us quickly. It brings death on quickly. Evil shall slay the wicked. And they that hate righteousness shall be desolate. We were desolate. Maybe some of you today are still desolate. Condemned. But you know, David gives us a way of escape. Verse 22, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. None of them who trust in Jesus Christ shall be desolate. None will be condemned. None will be punished. They will be redeemed. What a wonderful word that is. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. None shall be condemned. There'll be freedom, there'll be liberty. How can one know such things? How can I know that I've been redeemed? Again, that word redeemeth points back to the Exodus, when the Passover lamb was sacrificed for the children of Israel, when blood was shed. And it's only through the shedding of blood that there's remission of sin. It's only through the shedding of the precious blood of Jesus Christ that we can be redeemed. If you turn back to verse 6 of our psalm. This is the condition that God is looking for in the hearts of his people. This poor man. This is the position we have to come to. We have to acknowledge to Almighty God that we are poor. As David acknowledged to the priest that he had no food, no bread, he had no weapon of war. He had absolutely nothing, no friends, no support. He was a man who was desolate. Not only material things, but he was poor in spirit. And this is where we need to come. Before Almighty God. We come to Almighty God with this spirit of poverty. Not with our goodness and our good works, or what we have and what we have not. We come with a broken spirit. I don't know. I look at you and to be seen quite prosperous. I don't think anyone here has lost absolutely everything. Absolutely everything taken away from you. And that was the position of David, this poor man. He was so poor, again the Hebrew points to us, this word poor. He was depressed in spirit and in heart, in mind. Not only physically, but also spiritually depressed. Remember years ago, a friend of ours had a daughter who was seemed quite poorly. She seemed quite ill. And he persuaded her to go to see a doctor. The doctor happened to be a Christian doctor, and he spoke to her, consultation with her, And his diagnosis was, what you need to do is to praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with you physically. A good dose of praise has raised you out of your depression. That's what David's saying, isn't it, really? I will praise the Lord continually. His praise will be continually in my life. I'm this poor man. Oh, look at me, Lord. I'm just a poor man who needs help. And do you know, when you have that spirit, you come to him with your poverty. This poor man cries, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. This is what God does. This is his nature. He heard him. So on the psalm, we hear that the Lord inclines his ear to the prayers of his people. As if God is listening, he's listening out to the cries of his people. You cry from your heart. It's a cry, sincere cry from the heart. But God is seeking to hear. And this man, this poor man cried. And the Lord heard him. And the Lord saved him out of all his troubles. He knew that. He had that assurance that God had heard him and God had saved him. We need to come to God with a full confession. Again, in a previous study, we looked at Psalm 32. And we have there this wonderful confession of David. Psalm 32, a psalm of David. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. When we talk of sin, we think of sin as sin. But it's very complex, isn't it? David says here, blessed is he whose transgression, whose rebellion. If you're not a Christian today, you're a rebel. You're raising the fist to Almighty God and declaring there is no God, and if there is a God, he's not going to rule over me. That's rebellion. That's treason before Almighty God. I was a rebel. We've all been rebels. There are rebels in the church, there are rebels in the world. There were rebels who transgress. But notice this, he says, it's forgiven. Whose sin is covered. Another aspect of sin. That word sin there is to miss the mark, as you know. As one practices archery, they shoot their arrow, and those by the target cry, sin, you missed the mark. You didn't hit the mark. And we're all sinners. We've all missed the mark. What's the mark we missed? The glory of God. We've missed the mark. We do not glorify God, which is our chief end and a reason for living. But then he says, whose sin is covered. Just as that lid on the mercy seat there in the ark covered those tables of law, and as the blood was shed on that covering, so is our sin covered in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes full confession of his sin. And he says, my iniquity. My iniquity. We're bent. We're crooked. We're not straight. That's what David says of his own heart. And if you're honest with your own hearts, that's how we are. Dear Sister Ruth's not with us. She plays green bowls. And those little balls there, they have a bias inside them. So they're weighted. And part of the game, part of the skill of the game is to get that ball to hit that white jack, isn't it? It's a bias. And it's us. We were always veering off to the wrong direction. We're always going the wrong way. That's our iniquity. We're bent. We're not straight. And David confesses that. He confesses, I am a rebel. I've fallen short of the glory of God. And I am full of iniquity. Full of iniquity. But then he says, but that's been covered as well. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Because our iniquity, our sin, our transgression is imputed to another. Our iniquity has been imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ. He bears our sin and iniquity and our transgression. And the amazing thing is, he imputes to us his righteousness. And we're covered and we're clothed in his beautiful garment of righteousness. And for David, this was amazing. This was something which really thrilled his heart. He was full of praise to God. Looking again at Psalm 32, he says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. This is what God wants of us. He wants us to be honest with him. What else can we be? He knows all things anyway. I acknowledge my sin. And that's all you've got to come to. This poor man, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, O Lord. As we looked at previous study again, in Psalm 32. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Did you catch that? Does that not thrill your heart? Do those words not cause you to joy in the Lord? To rejoice with great joy? And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin? Rebel, sinner, bent person that I am, thou forgavest the iniquity of my... How can that be? What grace, what love, what mercy. But God Almighty forgavest the iniquity of my sin. That's why David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Does that not make you glad? To know that God forgives the iniquity of all your sin. Who is a pardoning God like thee? For who has grace so rich and free? Dear friends, there is no other God in all the universe and all the world that can match our God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And David there in Psalm 34 says we need also to be brokenhearted. Verse 13. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. We are to depart from evil and we are to seek good and we are to seek peace and we are to pursue it. And then verse 18 it says, and the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and save as such as be of a contrite spirit. The Lord is nigh them that are of a broken heart. You have a broken heart this morning? Is your heart broken over sin? Over your iniquity? Your transgression? You have a broken heart? David says, the Lord is nigh unto those who have a broken heart. Christian, now do you have a broken heart? It's been a week where you've been oppressed, you've been attacked. Maybe at work, maybe at college, where they ganged up against you, and your heart's broken. It does happen, you know. It does happen. Maybe a Christian has said something to you, something cutting, broke your heart. The Lord is nigh unto them that are a broken heart. Did you hear that? He's near. He's close by. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. He cares. He cares for you. He cares for me. Isn't it a wonder that the God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, should care for you? Just look at yourself for a moment. You're sitting here in Gordon Road, in Howsham, in Sussex, in the United Kingdom, on planet Earth, and as you zoom out into space, this little blue dot gets smaller and smaller. And who are you? We're nothing. We're nothing. But in Christ Jesus, we're everything. We are precious to him. We're precious. And he cares for us. That's amazing. That God Almighty should care for us. Care for us in our sin to send the Saviour. In time, God incarnate, contracted to a span, made man. He comes to redeem a people to himself. For you? For me? That's amazing. That's why David can declare. These things are wonderful, aren't they? These things are beyond their comprehension. My transgressions unto the Lord, thou forgavest them all. Thou forgavest all my iniquity, all my sin. And verse 5 there of Psalm 32 lends a little word there called Selah. Don't skip the Selahs. They're so important. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah, which means stop, pause. What do you think about that? I think, hallelujah. What a saviour. And the desire of our hearts here this morning is that if you do not know this saviour, that you would know him. And you would join with us in declaring the goodness of the Lord. And together we would magnify the Lord. And let us exalt his name together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that you are God. We acknowledge that we are sinners in the presence of a holy and righteous God. Pray, Lord, that you may impress these truths upon our hearts and upon our minds. We thank you that you are God who forgives the iniquity of his people. We thank you that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our substitute. We thank you that we have that imputed righteousness as our garments to cover us in your holy sight. Lord, we bless you for the gospel. We bless you for the Saviour. We bless you that he is a Saviour who is willing to save. Give us hearts to cry unto him. Give us hearts, Lord, that are broken and are contrite, that we may taste and see that the Lord is good. May we be blessed men and women, for we trust in him. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.